D'Lo Brownson, you better recognize you're listening to Pain Clinic.
That pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 17th. Holidays today, and there's quite a little bit of a list here, folks, so hold on a second. The holidays today, it's Bat Appreciation Day. It must be something to do with baseball, possibly, or with the creature that flies and lives upside down in cage and has weight. It's Blah 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 Day. It's Herbalist Day. Husband Appreciation Day. This is April 17th, Husband Appreciation Day. Write it down on your calendar. Husbands.
That is very fitting.
Yeah, isn't it? It is, isn't it? It's always the third Saturday in April, if you're curious about that. It's International Haiku Poetry Day, and I probably should have wrote a poem. Did not. National Cheese Ball Day, and that really fits us pretty well. And Record Store Day and World Circus Day. Today would have been Roddy Piper's 67th birthday, and it is former WWF superstar Nails' 63rd birthday. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cashman. I'm joined by Rob the RT Sanderson. How you doing, Rob?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm exhausted from the amount of wrestling that we've all taken in the last week or two, but good to be here.
Good. Not going through withdrawal is a good thing. Above him in the in the four squares of knowledge, it's Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger. How you doing?
Good morning. Feeling kind of like the artiste there, a little burned out and watching so much wrestling, but at least we got a weekend off, and then we can go back into it next week.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing is we got 5 weeks from WrestleMania to the next pay-per-view. I'm not going to count on it, but I will count on it. So to your radio right, to the left, Danger Boy is DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how's it going today?
Oh, good morning. Celebrating Husband Appreciation Day on my anniversary, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let the good doctor know.
I will make her aware.
You will make her aware. And below you, joining us, Furby from Hilton, New York.
Oh, I'm great. Good morning, everybody. It was a long week of wrestling. The wrestling hangover is over, and we're back at it.
Yeah, and you know what? But the wrestling, but the thing we've got to talk about is the thing that happened last weekend, 2 days of WrestleMania, and just want to get, we're going to go around, do a little round table here, figure out what highlights and lowlights and whatnot. But starting off, I will start off by saying, because of the rain delay on Saturday, I got to watch the entire Saturday's WrestleMania because, one, I think this is a first. I don't think they've ever been delayed by rain before. And they were delayed. I think the first match was maybe an hour late. And they still went the full distance, They still did the whole – they went to like 11:30, I think. On day one, but on Saturday night it was I very impressed with as much. I think Saturday night was the better of the two nights, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw some great wrestling on both shows, but I think for the fans to be walk away happy, you could have walked away Saturday after the show and at least got a few face wins, that happened. What do you guys think about the first night of WrestleMania? Anything jump out? I will say one thing that jumped out at me. Bad Bunny has been working in the training center, obviously. Probably, I think, hate to say it, but it may have been the highlight of day one was Bad Bunny's performance. What do you guys think?
I was just going to say, if you would have told me last week that that match would be one of the highlights, never would have believed you. But kudos to him. He definitely put in the work, and that was a hell of an enjoyable match.
It definitely was. Yeah. I mean, especially because he started the match, and pretty much we didn't see his partner until virtually the very end. And so, but he ended up getting beat up for what, maybe 10, 12 minutes straight, taking everything from everybody. So, Ferbs, what you
And they didn't just give him like spotty moves either. Like, he pulled off some impressive stuff.
Yeah, he did the bunny. Yeah. What was it? What did they call it again? The bunny driver outside the ring there.
The bunny destroyer. The
bunny destroyer.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. It was in my top three matches for Saturday night for sure. I was probably the one that I was most excited, like, during the actual match, that I actually like popped for. But overall, Saturday was a great, great night of wrestling. The main event, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. What a match. What a match. Talk about that whip with the hair that hurt me through the TV.
Danger.
Yeah. The main event was great. Bad Bunny put on a hell of a performance. I'm trying to figure out why the women's gauntlet wasn't on SmackDown and we didn't get the men's tag match on Saturday night instead. But other than that, it was a really fun night. It was enjoyable, and I had a good time.
Speaking of tag matches, I also got to give kudos to Omos there because, I mean, I didn't expect him to be able to do anything, and he actually pretty much dominated that tag match against the New Day. And now we have new tag team holders. For the Raw tag team, AJ Styles and Omos. Artis, what'd you think, man?
Overall, I think Saturday was really good. I think it was just one of those nights you could tell how incredibly motivated every single person on that roster was, how happy they were. And it was one of those kind of feel-good nights. You couldn't help but laugh at the thunderstorms and the delays and all that, and at least I did. But I think overall Saturday was very strong. Cesaro and Seth Rollins was match of the night for me. But I will also say Bianca Belair absolutely shined like crazy. I mean, carrying Sasha up the steps, all of the little details in that match, so good. Saturday, in my mind, was an absolute home run.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, not to disrespect Braun Strowman getting a win over Shane McMahon, but I mean, that was what you would expect. But, you know, most of the time, I think Shane McMahon will go over most anybody in a match, and he definitely did not go over Braun Strowman, you know, tearing the cage apart at the end so he could, you know, throw him off the top of the cage. I thought that, you know, Cesaro and Seth Rollins, yes, definitely. I mean, when he was spinning Seth Rollins on his shoulders and then took his hands away and was doing it all with his neck, that was a very, very impressive move. I mean, we'll see that like a million times. But starting the night off.
I don't think it didn't hurt Seth at all, but just, I mean, that was the moment that Cesaro needed. And to me, that was one of the all-time, I mean, for how many people have watched since his Claudio Castagnoli days, for him to have that moment at WrestleMania, to me, that's one of the top feel-good Mania moments ever in my book. Just him getting a nice clean win at Mania against somebody he's battled with for decades, basically. It was awesome.
Yeah, and without a doubt, definitely. I mean, and it shows you that, he, you know, the company still invested in him because they could have easily just pushed him to side because Seth Rollins obviously is a main eventer. But we started off the night, Bobby Lashley taking on Drew McIntyre. And, of course, all of us going in thought Drew McIntyre was a shoe-in because he could finally win in front of a crowd. And we got more of the almighty Bobby Lashley. And I don't have a problem with that at all because, you know, they're sticking with something they started before Mania, and they're going to carry it through. Obviously, we were going to get that rematch at the next pay-per-view. But, you know, you started with, kind of a downer with, Drew McIntyre losing to Bobby Lashley. But you end with Bianca Belair beating Sasha Banks. And, you know, it's like I said, you don't know who to cheer for because you like both of them, you know? And I mean, there was a rivalry built up during that. So WrestleMania 1 was in the books at about 11:30, and then they turned around, came back out, and did it again on night 2. No rain for night 2, or if they did, it was much earlier. It did not affect the start time or anything. And of course, I think we were all kind of surprised that they were going to start off with Randy Orton and The Fiend. You know, of course, the Fiend coming out of a box-like structure. sorry.
I don't understand starting with that match at all. I mean, to me, that's like, it wasn't cinematic, but why? To me, that's like such a good, like, break things up kind of match to put in the middle between, I don't know. That was a very weird decision in my book.
I thought the finish was kind of weird too, because I mean, it was Randy Orton's got more than a few wins against The Fiend, or I was going to say Bray Wyatt, but having the whole Alexa Bliss come up and, you know, look like she had was down a quart somehow, she was spewing from her head. I'm not really sure, and they really haven't gone too far with that yet. We'll see what really there's. I guess there's more to it, but I was kind of shocked by the end of that match. I thought, you know, I figured, you know, it seems like Bray's getting over, The Fiend's getting over as a good guy. Obviously, he had some sort of magical transformation, and he's no longer the melted Fiend. He is back to the good old, you know, Fiend, I guess, you know.
I just wish they would decide what it is they want to do with him. Because you have it where nothing phases him, and then, you know, the only offensive move that gets put on him finishes him. Like, the booking for that match, I completely disagree with. Not that my opinion carries any weight to WWE. But what would be the harm in letting Bray get that win after all that buildup and then doing something on Monday night to tease a rift between, you know, him and Alexa? Where would the harm have been there?
See, I didn't mind it as much. I actually, in the beginning, like when it first happened for shock value, I was very upset because I'm a big Fiend fan. But when I sat there and thought about it, it made sense from a storytelling standpoint. Like, you don't always need the big shocker to be the next day. I thought it was one of those things where, even though it was just like you said, DC, it's weird. Like, he can take all this offense and then one move finishes him. But I think it taking a factor, the distraction of Alexa just kind of caught him off guard. And then, you know, I'm really excited to see where it goes from here. Hopefully it plays into something more.
Just remember, everybody, you can light someone on fire, and when they come back for their vengeance, they're not going to get it. The fact that Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard changed the finish of that match in the last week before WrestleMania is the dumbest thing they've ever done.
Yeah, there's some stories.
How many times are they going to bury the Fiend? Like, you built him up to be this big superstar, and then what? It's the same type of, like, I think the dumber decision would have been if they decided to have Shane McMahon beat Braun Strowman. But other than that, like, the Fiend just, I mean, you're burying his character again.
Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm old fashioned, but to me, one of the highlights of WrestleMania was getting the culminations of all these storylines you're supposed to be building throughout the year. And we didn't get that with this. Not at all. There was no payoff.
Yeah.
And it's the only story they've told for any extended period of time. Well, and there's no payoff. And the next night, it's like it didn't even happen. Randy Orton's in a different match. And it's just Alexa Bliss and The Fiend. Which, what are they going to do with that? Because it's not going to be Alexa versus The Fiend. That's not a match they're going to do.
No.
Is he going to keep being The Fiend and this character for the rest of his career? Or is at some point, can he just go back to Bray Wyatt and, like, that chapter closes? Because to me, they just keep, like, yeah, they do cool stuff with that character, but it's kind of, how many times have they killed it? And I just don't, I'm not invested in it anymore.
No,
it's the same thing they did when he was Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, and also remember when he took on Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins buried him in the chairs and got the win through that. And it's a good question, and I think, you know, I don't know if he can go back to being Bray Wyatt. I don't, you know, I mean, they've tried. He's actually wrestled as Bray Wyatt since he's been The Fiend, but I will say in the next match, and we'll just keep continue on through the card a little bit. The next match was the tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship which I think that there was the one that we could like, you know, I didn't really care too much about, to be honest with you, and it was like it was just the culmination of that match the night before, the tag team turmoil the winner got to be against it. And then the
worst championship division in all of televised wrestling is the WWE Women's Tag Team Division.
Oh yeah.
And we'll see if they ever figure that out, but this week's actions certainly don't help that.
Hey, speaking of that, we're going to take a break right now, come back and talk about this, finish up with the second night of WrestleMania, because we're getting to some of the fun parts, and we're going to talk about that as well as the most unpredictable night in the world of wrestling, Monday Night Raw following WrestleMania, and we'll talk about that next on the Pain Clinic. You're listening to us on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC, Dan Cole, the Artiste, Furby, and Danger Boy, and you. We're, of course, always brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. And we are scoping through WrestleMania Day 2. We are just getting up to the next match. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn with Logan Paul. And I still don't get this Logan Paul guy, okay? But it was nice to see, to be honest with you, to see Sami Zayn get a clean win. That was, I had no problem. Kevin Owens get a clean win at WrestleMania. And then stunning Logan Paul on his way out. But it was a fun match. Those guys, you know, once again, we're talking about real-life best friends wrestling each other. And that was, it was a fun match. It was the last time on Sunday that we were going to see a good guy slash face win a match, because the next four in a row did not end the same way. But I was hoping that this would be higher in a card, but nevertheless, it still was on Sunday. Anyone have any thoughts on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? It was a fun match, and it was nice to see Kevin Owens just turn it around, start stunning everybody.
I'm really happy the match happened at WrestleMania. I'm really happy that Logan Paul pretty much just sat his butt on the outside and didn't really do anything, and then got the stunner at the end.
He wasn't even paying attention.
That being said, I'm disappointed with how short that match was. They could have deserved a little bit more time for that, because that was obviously like the main match of the weekend I was looking forward to, and I just thought it was entirely too short.
I know, I agree.
Yeah, I have to agree with Artiste. Like, it was definitely a fun short sprint. That's for sure. I thought Sunday had a lot of quick matches, honestly, to be honest. You talk about three or four matches that were all probably under 10 minutes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The longest match of the night was the last one on Saturday night. That was the longest match of the whole pay-per-view, too. But nothing topped 14 minutes, and believe it or not, the 14 minutes 20 seconds was Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler win over Natalya and Tamina. So it's like that was the second longest match on Sunday, which it seemed like.
And how long was Owens and Zayn?
Owens and Zayn were 9 minutes and 20 seconds. So So Danger, thoughts on it?
Well, it was a fun little match. I agree that they could have gone longer. I also agree with I really agree that the match shortly after should have gone longer. It was fun. I'm glad they dropped Logan Paul, because that's the way that should have ended. And it plays into the Owens character that he's being Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, yeah. Austin would have done the same thing.
You know, one thing I will say is I was getting tired of them doing packages between entrances. It's like they would bring out one guy and then they would do a package leading into the other guy. It's like, what? Why do they want to kill this time like this so much? They did it a lot. Lots of stallers going on through the whole thing. But
I will say, like, that match, I don't like how short it was. Overall, I kind of like the two-night format. I like that, for the most part, matches aren't going long. It doesn't make it feel as much of a marathon as it could be. So I'm not saying that, like, all of this is bad. Like, it could be a 14-hour, one-day, 35-minute match awfulness. I'm happy overall. To me, that's, like, one match it was over, and I was like, really? It's already over? Like, I just wanted more.
Well, my problem was that the women's tag team title match went 15 minutes, and there was no need for it to go more than five.
No.
Verbs, I had no need for that match in the first place.
If you took out all the pointless standing around, it probably would have been 5 minutes.
Meanwhile, you've got Bayley running around on stage and backstage, and you've got Charlotte waiting till the next night to come out. But then you put these people out there for not the top of the top of the women's division in my book.
Verbs, you have any thoughts on this?
About the women's match? About tag match?
No, the match we were just talking about.
I mean, Tamina was over with the crowd.
Yeah, it was. It was.
But,
Like I said, it's the last face win of the night. So, okay, let's continue on then. Yeah. We don't want to get dragged down by this. But we had Sheamus and Riddle. And Riddle, being the champ, comes in. And I'll tell you, Sheamus with that kick as Riddle was coming off the ropes, yeah, that was definitely a highlight of maybe the night for the move of the night. And Sheamus does take the win there. First champ to lose their belt on Sunday night was Riddle. Riddle's a good wrestler, and I think there's a lot of stories about how Riddle held the title only because Keith Lee couldn't get it a couple pay-per-views ago, and Keith Lee was supposed to be against Sheamus, and I think somebody else, I can't remember. Bobby Lashley. And so they wanted to, that's back when Bobby Lashley had the United States Championship and Riddle won it. So now, but Riddle only won it because he was a fill-in when Keith Lee couldn't be in the match. So now they put it on another contender, Sheamus. Looked like maybe they're moving Riddle up after Monday Night Raw. It looked like Riddle, he went and messed with Bobby Lashley and got destroyed to start the show on Monday night. But anyone have any thoughts on this match? I mean, it was a fun match, and it did have, like I said, the move of the night with Sheamus doing the brogue kick into a spinning, flying off the ropes Matt Riddle.
I tell you what, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a fun little match, and the ending made it stand out, so they did their job.
Yeah, I think
that was one of the more solid matches.
For sure. I was happy with Sheamus picking up the victory there, and I tell you what, if they weren't so over the top with Riddle, with his character, I mean, even if they just scaled it down a bit to what he was in NXT, this guy could be, you know, something big. I mean, he's fantastic in the ring. Like, there's no doubt about it. It almost seems like he's two completely different people when he steps in the ring to when he's backstage doing his stupid stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, that stuff, they're going to tag him with freaking R-Truth real soon. You know what's going to happen, so...
Yeah, Vince McMahon still bases all of his stoner culture on mid-2000 references.
True.
I don't know. Match was okay. It didn't really do much for me as I expected.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the next one then. We had Apollo Crews defeating Big E in a Nigerian drum fight, which we didn't really know what it was until pretty much it was a no holds barred, no disqualification match. That's pretty much what it was.
How many of those drums were used in the match?
None.
Yeah, the match that has drum in the name that has nothing to do with drums, but there's drums at ringside.
Yeah,
they used the gong.
Yeah,
they did use the gong.
Yeah, they did ram into the gong. So yeah,
that is a percussion instrument, not a drum. And just FYI, the drums you saw around the ring were djembes. Yeah.
See, you're speaking from an experienced drummer. So we did see Dava Kato come in and be a new character. And
who?
Dava Kato.
Yeah. Who is that guy?
I don't know. He was a guy who used to fight on that show that was on Monday Night Raw.
It's going to be Commander Aziz or something like that.
Commander Aziz. Well,
I'm not even joking. That's what they trademarked.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm sorry. I know nobody's going to get this reference, but all I can think of is the Fifth Element right now.
I was thinking Wesley Snipes from The New Coming to America.
Aziz Light.
I was thinking of the Book of Mormon, but I can't say it. I can't say what that guy's name
is. Oh, yeah,
was.
That one too.
So.
A good general.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I felt bad because they screwed Big E and everything. After Big E had come out on Saturday night and introduced the New Day, and then they bring him out, and, he's actually, it was a good match up until the cheating at the end of it. So,
I'll say Big E might be my favorite male superstar in WWE. I don't think Apollo Crews is necessarily the best choice for Intercontinental Champion right now. I don't know what's happening with his character or how long he's going to keep his fake accent and all this stuff, but Big E losing the Intercontinental title, I'm not totally upset about. If this maybe hopefully means that he could now move into the Universal title picture, possibly. I want to be optimistic that way, because that's ultimately what I want.
A lot of times when a guy, you know, when you take that belt off someone, they're moving up. So let's see what happens, you know. I'm hoping so.
I mean, I want him to move up too, but I figured they would have done a slower burn with him. Like, at least let him hold it until SummerSlam or something, then position himself to be a powerhouse, win the Royal Rumble, like a setup like that.
Yeah.
He's going to have not a lot to do for the next entire year.
That was probably like the most disappointing thing about both nights, actually, was Big E losing. Like, it is what it is if he loses and he goes up, but like, I just kind of thought it wasn't the right timing for him to lose, like DC said. I thought he would have held on the title a little bit longer, kind of positioned himself for a big run for WrestleMania next year. Maybe now we get him more towards the push towards SummerSlam in the summer. I just hope they don't rush it and then waste it with him not winning the title. So
they could build him up and let him have his WrestleMania SummerSlam moment at WrestleMania SummerSlam this summer, which is only, 3 months after WrestleMania Backlash and after 4 months after WrestleMania.
Bank, right? Yeah, but then we'll have a WrestleMania Survivor Series in the fall. So
WrestleMania Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania Fastlane.
And then all the way to WrestleMania Royal Rumble, you know, I mean, I will say one thing, I was hoping he would carry it longer too, because he didn't have a lot of feuds once he got it, you know, I mean, so it would have been great if he could defend it against a handful of guys, but he really, you know, we'll see what happens. Now,
I'm curious to see, I mean, like, where is Apollo Crews going from here as well? Because he, to me, he hasn't really been built up that much. He's been given a belt fairly quickly since things have changed with him. So now, is he going to be, like, the Intercontinental title is one of the most important titles of all time, but they go through these little lulls where they don't really do anything with it. So hopefully at WrestleMania Backscratcher, he's got a good opportunity to defend it against maybe a new contender and, I don't know, not get lost in the shuffle again.
The thing that confuses me is they love guys who lose a bunch to then all of a sudden put the title on him. I mean, he had lost 3 times against Big E previously. Then he gets his WrestleMania match against him, and then he takes the title.
We call that the Kushida factor, okay?
Back scratcher?
Butt scratcher. The Kushida factor there. Okay, let's get to the next one because we're dragging this one on. Rhea Ripley beats Asuka 13 minutes and 30 seconds. I thought it was a fun match. I wasn't absolutely sure Rhea Ripley was going to win it, but it seemed at one point she was. And Asuka, you know, I thought Rhea Ripley wasn't ready for Asuka, but obviously she was. And, you know, that was the semi-main event match, I guess you would consider it. It was good. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, Asuka's always puts on great matches, and I think Rhea Ripley, you know, is a star. You know, it's just a beginning of a shooting star. We'll see what happens. It was beautiful. You know, now that we have 3 women champion, including the NXT champion, who all were like friends down in NXT, who came together on this past week's NXT and held their belts up together at the end of the show to show where they all came from, and now they're all champions. I thought that was, you know, and it was a good match too.
I was going to say, I think what made it feel special to me, and I'll go back to night one, too, when they did the opening and they had all the superstars out there, and you saw Rhea Ripley, and she was getting emotional because of the moment she was in. And then, you know, that night you saw the emotions getting to Bianca Belair when they started the main event. And then, you know, knowing what a moment that was for Rhea Ripley the next night, I mean, I thought it was overall, you know, for the single women's division, can't say anything about the tag division, but I mean, how solid is that women's singles division right now?
Yeah,
it's great. And to me, the whole thing there is very reminiscent of Royal Rumble 2005, WrestleMania 21, Cena and Batista. You know, the next two upcoming dudes. You know, last two in the Royal Rumble, and then the last two in the Royal Rumble this year for the women's, Rhea and Bianca, and then they both get their big shining moments at WrestleMania this year. It felt very reminiscent of that, and I loved it.
Yeah, and so let's, you know, because we're running long again, let's go to the last match real quick, and that would be the main event, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. And it was the match went 21 minutes and 40 seconds. It closed out night two of WrestleMania, and it was a defense by Roman Reigns. And the thing that stood out the most to me, besides the fact that some great one-on-one matchups with Edge and Daniel Bryan, and Edge and Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, got to see all of them working together at one time or another in the ring, was that Roman Reigns on Friday Night SmackDown before called that he was going to stack all his competitors up and pin them. And son of a gun, if he didn't do that, you know, he had them all in a pile and pinned them. And it's because only, I think it's because Daniel Bryan took out Edge. Was it Daniel Bryan took out Edge and then
no, Edge took out Daniel Bryan, yeah, and then with the concerto.
Yeah, that's right. And then
Roman Reigns took out Edge with a concerto.
And then he laid on top of all of them. He did exactly what he said. That is I think a very sus, you know, I mean, both champions from Raw and SmackDown defend their titles, you know, in great matches. And I think that Roman Reigns, obviously they've got more to tell a story with Roman Reigns, you know, the head of the table or whatnot. It's going to make people hate him even more. And I heard, we didn't hear it because I think they cut out pretty quick after the match was over, but there was booing going on. And because nobody likes,
but Roman, at least now it's booing for the right reasons.
That's correct.
Right. He's getting booed properly.
How many years
properly
have we talked about, like, Roman Reigns and how nobody cares and they're pushing him down people's throats or whatever? It's the best work of his career. He's a true heel now. He is the star of SmackDown. He is looking dominant, and him winning that match was 100% the right decision.
Mm-hmm. I did, and it was, and I thought, and I was pretty sure going into it that Edge was going to win it because of the way they were building up from the Royal Rumble. When they added Daniel Bryan to it, that threw in a question mark. You know, it's like, so now it's going to, you know, and obviously we got the answer with Roman Reigns winning that title. And on that note, we got to take a break because we were going running a little bit long. We're going to come back and talk about the most exciting Monday Night Raw of the year, and also some big news on some people being let go by WWE. And that's all up next on the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, Furby, the Artiste, and DC Dan Cole, and you. And this is Aleister Black's old music. He's going to be re-debuting real soon, so look for Aleister Black to be showing up. Probably not to this music, but before we get into the biggest Monday Night Raw of the year, the most unpredictable one, I want to flashback. DC, you've got a little thing about that last match of WrestleMania that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, it was a good match. It did have a downside, though, and it had nothing to do with the guys in the ring. It had everything to do with the people at the control board controlling the cameras. WWE, in honor of National Haiku Day, I've prepared this for you.
That's right.
Hey, you, Kevin Dunn, please stop with the rapid cuts. My brain can't take it.
There we go. It's simple. Do you have a title for that? Hey, you.
Go away, Kevin Dunn.
Okay.
Step away from the controls.
And that's a very important point, because after a long week and a long weekend, that match itself, the Roman Reigns match, the rapid fire zooms and stuff were literally making me seasick. The point, I'm looking away from the television screen. It's an absolute joke. It's literally like the number one reason why I don't consistently watch every WWE program like I used to. It is an actual problem. It's something that I know a lot of other people feel that same way. It's literally making people not watch the product.
Yeah.
Stop doing that crap.
And they're just using it to hide that, you know, there's the contact isn't happening as hard as you think it is. But in that last match, one of the best wrestlers who makes everything look legit doing it, and there's, you know, Daniel Bryan, and there's still quick cuts and jumping back and forth. And I just, you know, I don't know when that started, but I wish it would stop.
However many years WWE has been on TV, and every other televised wrestling promotion does not do that, and they don't need it. And if the wrestler is punching 6 feet away, then make them work a little tighter and closer. Have them fix. This does not need to be the fingers on the Zoom back and forth like that. It drives me absolutely bonkers.
Like, imagine if something like that would have happened, like, when with the great match we had between Walter and Dragunov. Like, imagine that. That would have totally ruined that.
Imagine if they did that, like, the NFL or something. People would riot.
Big time, yeah. And it was obvious, and it was and Lance Storm was quoted on his Twitter about it, saying he had to turn it off because he just couldn't. And it was. There were some moves going on in the ring where it was zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. It's like, it's, you know, it's hurting my eyes, it's hurting my brain, and it's, I think it's hurting. And you wonder why the numbers are low. It's, you know,
well, when it's, you have Roman Reigns and Edge and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. He's throwing 10 punches in 5 seconds, and you're getting 20 cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, awful. And, yeah. So if you guys.
If there's an opposite of the Hall of Fame, put Kevin Dunn, whoever else is in charge of these Zooms in it.
We'll give him the Hall of Shame. We'll have him, we'll give him a slammy for the Hall of Shame. So that good point made, and I don't know if anybody else feels that same way, but we've been feeling that way for a while. But this is more evident when. This is, you know, the only thing on your screen is, the, you know, it's this going on, and it's like it's just flashing from thing to thing. It just is confusing, and you know. And
but why did it pick up so much in one match?
Yeah,
like it wasn't like it always bothers me, but I totally agree, Lance Storm, in that specific match, it just got out of control more than any other match ever.
Yeah, I didn't notice it that much until that match.
It's like they had to hit a quota of Zooms for the weekend, and they weren't there yet.
Well, the weekend was not quite over yet because we had Monday Night Raw the next night, and it's the most watched Monday night. It actually did very well in the ratings, and it was you have like the big surprises. This is, and for, of course, if you're in front of an audience, they probably may have been had bigger surprises, but I think the biggest surprise we had going into Monday is we got Charlotte Flair coming out and, you know, complaining about not having a WrestleMania match. And then saying that she's the barometer of the women's division, and you know she's not, you know, she doesn't want to be in it because she is it. You know, what'd you guys think about Charlotte Flair coming out? And you know, and there seemed to, you know, and there's a few of the wrestlers who tweet out, but Bully Ray said that, you know, there's a lot of legitimacy into what she was saying, because there was more passion in that promo than she's had in a long time. But what'd you guys think about Charlotte coming out? And I mean, by the way, she looked kind of different. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, it's like, gosh, she's like, you know, they definitely want to highlight her long legs, that's for sure, you know.
I was gonna say, definitely for me, for not being a huge Charlotte fan, it was one of her most convincing promos. Definitely a lot of, you know, passion in it. So I really enjoyed it. But you mean, Cash, your biggest surprise wasn't Mace and T-Bar possibly joining the Hurt Business?
Yeah, Mace and T-Bar, two guys that were completely against the Hurt Business. Yeah, no, that didn't surprise. I mean, those guys, you know, they have a job still, so that's a big plus. I'm trying to think of what else
that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. I'm trying to think of what else. What else really was a surprise on Monday night?
Viking Raiders.
Yeah, Viking Raiders came out. Yes. It was nice to see them, and you know, which one they had the knee surgery?
Ivar had a neck surgery.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's right. That's right. He got slammed. He got suplexed outside the ring and didn't get up after it. He also had a baby too, so I think they gave him some time off for that too. But it wasn't, you know, it didn't have the same feel, and they weren't promoting like they usually do. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. But
I've always looked forward to that Raw. For who they should have been cheering for and booing who they should have been booing. It's almost like WWE had controlled the situation.
They did.
I always look forward to that Raw. I'm gonna be honest. I was so burned out, I did not watch it.
Yeah,
and that was always the number one. It was the number one Raw every year you look forward to, but. Yeah, going right back to no fans into a Thunderdome I've watched 46,000 hours of wrestling in the past week. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Well, we did start off with Matt Riddle getting destroyed by Bobby Lashley, which, you know, Matt Riddle's like, "Hey, I got nothing to do. What about you?" And it's like, next thing you know, Bobby Lashley's killing this dude, you know. And that I think there's a lot of like back padding over WrestleMania, how they like to pat their back a lot when they think they do a good job. So we got a lot of that. Nothing else really that dramatic, but it was, you know, but you know, it, you know, we will be, you know, we're I think we, you know, we went nine, like I said, nine straight nights of live WWE programming. So it's like that. You think they're getting a little worn out after the while. You know, after a while, we didn't see some people who had lost on, you know, on WrestleMania as well. Not everybody showed up. Like maybe they got a break, but you know, it was still okay Monday night. You know, it just wasn't what, you know, you didn't have the guys from England trying to change the, you know, the chants and stuff like that showing up.
Was it the smartest idea for them to switch NXT to Tuesdays this week? When we're talking about how burned out everybody was going to be, roster-wise, fan-wise, everything else, like, be like, oh, if you haven't had enough, Tuesday, too. Yeah. Normally you get a little break, but this is the week you got to watch the first NXT Tuesday.
Yeah, no.
Which it, I also, I did not, I did have Dark Elevation and Dark on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, but it was more like listening than watching, because it's a lot of wrestling.
It was. And you know, but the only good thing I think about that whole Tuesday night show was Kushida, you know, winning the highly contested, what's the belt again? It's the light heavyweight.
No, cruiserweight NXT. Title.
It's NXT,
yeah, cruiserweight title. So, and it was like the cruiserweight title, which, you know, they the two guys who both were holding it had merged it the week before. But Kushida, after losing some very high-profile matches in NXT, takes the title, which I'm very happy for him. I mean, I just felt that, you know, that this guy just kept losing all the time, and it was about time that he got a chance to win. Then they parade, you know, like as well on NXT, they paraded all the women out from who are all champions in, you know, SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. So that was pretty cool. That note, we're going to go to break, come back and talk a little bit about AEW and talk about some news from this past week. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Furby, and you, and Finn. And we're here talking. So this is our news section, and I did tease we're going to talk about AEW, but on Thursday this past week, WWE decided that they were going to cut a bunch of salaries from their roster. And we got a list of people who were all released. I'll go through the list real quick and see. Tell me who you may agree with and not. We've got Chelsea Green, Tucker, Kalisto, Bo Dallas, Wesley Blake, Mojo Rawley, and the one that surprised me, honestly, Samoa Joe, all were cut on Thursday from WWE. And because, you know, it's the annual post-WrestleMania cut, and Danger Boy, or Danny, who was the ones from last year that got cut the same day a year ago?
I mean, it was a huge list last year. Kurt Angle, Rusev, Drake Maverick, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Eric Young, EC3, Kurt Hawkins, Leo Rush, Heath Slater, Aiden English, Sarah Logan, Mike Chioda, Primo and Epico, Eric Rowan, Mike and Maria Kanellis, Zack Ryder, Noe Jose, Cassius Ohno, Tino Sabatelli, and Curtis Axel.
Yeah, so that was last year. This year we've so far only eight, so there might be more as we talk
about. We lost Billy Kay and Peyton Royce too this year.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, both of them were added. Yeah, and that's
that one I'm okay with, so they can go somewhere else and get back to being the great tag team they are.
Yeah.
This isn't really like as sad to me as it was in the past, as long as these people get new jobs because they can thrive elsewhere and.
Mojo's not thriving anywhere.
Yeah, unless he gets Gronk to come with him, because apparently Gronk is a golden ticket when it comes to wrestlers, right?
Well, Mojo doesn't get in catering; he stays in catering, and now he can. So
yeah, the big one there is Samoa Joe. Another one too that I feel like is going to be interesting to see how it plays out is someone who should be the next. Hall of Famer for the women's division, Mickie James. Yeah. That's going to be awkward. You can't invite her back as a Hall of Fame member next year.
Yeah. You know,
where does she go though? Cause she could help out a lot of women's divisions right now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I mean, it's weird. This used to just be kind of a sad day, but I'm really excited. I think this is the opportunity that AEW can go from a year ago having a terrible women's division to a women's division that before this was getting a lot better and just got Chris Statlander back in action this week. Ty Conti could become the women's champion next week. But now you have the opportunity to bring in Peyton Royce and Billie Kay and maybe Mickey James, maybe Chelsea Green, a lot. Like, that's a huge, huge difference. So yeah. WWE can keep doing this whole like hoarding talent. And then the same day they announce all of their like, we made all this money for our shareholders. By the way, all of you people, you're gone. Here's the boot. There's the door.
Well, you know what kills me the most is Chelsea Green had this huge buildup to get on WWE TV, ends up breaking a limb in the she broke her leg or something in the first match back in. I mean, we're talking like 10 seconds into the match it happened.
She was supposed to win.
Broke her wrist, and she was supposed to be part of the Survivor Series team, and
seen
again.
And then there was even talks of her coming back and everything. And then it's a shame because we never really got to see Chelsea Green, you know, in WWE. But I think Chelsea Green, I mean, you remember her from Tough Enough, or as well as she'll get a good chance of somebody else. But yeah, there's a lot of great talent out there. I think because this past week AEW pulled over a million, it's got to be a good thing. They pulled like 1.219 million, which they didn't do when Shaq was wrestling. They didn't do when Mike Tyson was there, though. You know, but I mean, they had their biggest number ever when they had no competition. And actually, both them and NXT on Tuesday did better against no competition than they did when they were against each other. So obviously got people watching both now, which is pretty cool.
I wonder if WWE like had all these cuts planned and maybe regrets some of them seeing that number they pulled on Wednesday.
Oh yeah. Who knows? But Joe being cut because he was the odd man out in the announce crew when they announced that Adnan Virk was going to be the new play-by-play guy on Monday night.
I heard some of those clips. I'm glad I didn't watch Raw because the clips I heard I did not like.
He's new. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt being it's first time out.
So put him in the performance center and have him like do a few practice matches or something. Have him watch some tapes and figure out some move names or something. I don't know. I didn't like it.
You probably wanted them to give Mike Adamley a chance too, didn't you, Cash?
No. Jeff Harvey. No, I did not. No. But,
but then again, they also, this is the same company that releases these. I mean, amazing wrestlers that got cut this week, but then, you know, we still have jobs for Velveteen Dream and Jackson Ryker and Austin Theory, Matt Riddle, Jordan Devlin, all these other people that are on lists out there. Just going to say that. Well, so Velveteen Dream is still employed as of the time I'm saying this into a microphone. And
yeah.
Okay.
I will say we have not seen him in quite a while, but he is still employed. You are correct.
So why is he on the payroll?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Like, you've had enough time. Like, you could just cut him at this point and not say that it's because of allegations or anything. It could just be for the same reason you got rid of all these other wrestlers.
True.
I still can't believe that we've gone through two rounds of cuts now. Last year, Rusev was cut, but Lana still has a job.
Well, she's got a couple things going for her, I would say.
Well, it's not in-ring talent.
Yeah. I will say that, but you know, so yeah, it was a busy week. Not only did we have like all these shows and everything, but then we had all the cuts going on this week, and and I don't think the cuts are done. We might see some more here or there. That's why, for instance, I miss Mickey James in that list, as well as Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. Billie Kay was the first one we heard about. So it's a shame because Billie Kay, I follow a lot of them on like Instagram, and Billie Kay was just having a great time at WrestleMania, even though she had nothing to do. She was still having a great time. She did. She wrestled. She was part.
You can call it wrestling.
Whatever that was, they were doing in the match. But you know, we've had just an incredible week, and then we have, like I said, we have 5 weeks before the next pay per view, which is like gives them plenty of time to restart whatever they're going to do with all the angles and everything that just kind of died at WrestleMania. I will say that WrestleMania, both nights were sellouts. They both had 25,675 people there, which for a total of 51,350. 50 fans attending WrestleMania. My friend Joe C was there taking pictures, sending them. It was beautiful. You know, they did have rain on Saturday. Sunday was pretty good. Next year's WrestleMania is going to be April 3rd at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Dallas. It will only be one day. Mentioned that earlier in the show as well. The WWE.
Are they confirmed? Because Triple H said like a week ago that they were still kind of thinking about it. I don't know if that's totally 100% confirmed that it's just one day.
Yeah, nothing is for sure, especially in this COVID-19 world we're in. So who knows? But
because there are so many people that didn't squeeze into 2 days this year. And if it's one day, I do not want it to be at the length of 1 + 2. That's too much. So
yeah, I like the length. The length is perfect for at least each night. They were done, it wasn't like that time they started at 6 and we got done after 12:30, you know, and it was like we're just exhausted.
I could have done with it starting an hour earlier.
Real quick note, AEW, please acknowledge Kenny Omega's match on the Impact pay-per-view next weekend on your live Dynamite this Wednesday. It's kind of a big deal, and you haven't mentioned it at all.
Yeah, I know. We were talking like earlier. We were talking. There's only a certain handful of people that can go between those two shows. You know, it'd be nice, so much better.
Is Omega going to show up on Dynamite the week after with the Impact belt and be like, oh, by the way, he had this pay-per-view match we didn't tell you about?
Yeah, they're going to have to let us know. And one last thing, what about Mike Tyson punching Cash, was it Cash Wheeler in the face during that match?
Locked.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It looks so good from the back view, man. He just went down. I bet you, I'd like to hear more from him and see, like, because he really made contact. It was now Mike Tyson's a part of the inner circle. Are we going to see him every week now? I don't know. I wouldn't mind it. He actually
here and there.
Yeah, it was nice when him and MJF were kind of. MJF was kind of trying to sway him in the back, and he just kind of got in his face and said, "I'll call it down the middle." Reminded me of
my dad said you were a great boxer back in the day.
Great line. Well, guys, it's another WrestleMania in the books, another pain clinic in the books. We will see you next week here on Fox Sports 1280. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.